welcome to PCB Chat. I'm your host, Mike Buto. My guests today are Wally Rines, Chairman Emeritus of Mentor and spokesman for the Electronic System Design Alliance Governing Council. And also joining us is Merlin Brunken, Director of Market Intelligence. Thank you for making time for me today. I see the ESD Alliance is reporting another quarterly increase in revenue, this time for the period ended September 30th. Wally, what are the highlights of the latest results?
The primary highlight is that it's continuing growth. We just had a long string of successful growth, and here we have it again. If you just look at the year-to-year at 6.7%, that's very strong and has continued very strong. But I think a particular highlight that would be of interest to your readers is the fact that PCB has remained strong, 5.9% year-to-year, but the four-quarter moving average is still almost 10%. And one thing that PacRim was incredibly strong, 30.7% growth year-to-year.
Yeah, that was striking to me. Can we point to any particular sector that's driving that?
It's pretty broad. If you look at the totals, they're pretty much even. Geographically, there's some variation, very strong in North America, as we've seen in the past, and strong in Pacific Rim, but right about on the worldwide average. Japan, a little less, and Europe a little less, but still, all strength in pretty much all regions. The one that really stands out is that PCB growth in the Pac Rim, and that is unusually strong. It's sort of, if I look within PCB, data that you don't see in the abbreviated report, the strongest parts year to year were the traditional ones, PCB schematic and physical layout, and reasonably strong growth in package design as well. So it's good for PCB. It's good continuing growth for the overall market, and I guess you would expect that because the semiconductor industry has been turning in very good numbers actually now for 2 years.
So now this, I believe, is the 10th straight quarter of increases?
Merlin, what are we at?
This is the 11th quarter of consecutive growth.
11th, wow. And I believe that on a previous call, I think you had indicated that there was the record for consecutive quarters of growth was something like 23 going back to the first quarter of 2010 to the third quarter of 2015.
Yeah, I think that's right. I recall that.
Have you ever done any correlation studies of IC software sales and semiconductor manufacturing equipment orders?
No, but Merlin just sent me an article on something that was published on that where they were looking at correlation and expressing concern that semiconductor versus semiconductor manufacturing equipment, the lag had changed some. Normally, you expect semiconductor equipment sales to be strong while semiconductor sales are growing, and then when semiconductor sales let off, then the equipment sales let off even more. And that sort of happened this year. The equipment sales are down starting in third quarter, certainly. The equipment sales turned south, and that's continued in the reported numbers I've seen, whereas semiconductor was more of a modest downturn. It went from 22% in 2017 to, I don't know, 14.5 or something. Merlin could correct me on that. In 2018, and I think the semiconductor is disproportionately influenced by memory, which was the big driver of growth in 2017, and now we've entered an era where, or a time when the average unit prices are now, year to year, are now decreasing, as you would expect, because we had enormous unit price increases in memory in 2017 and the first part of 2018. So I think tracing that back to equipment, you're more likely to find information in looking at what happened to the memory companies, particularly Samsung and SK Hynix and Micron. And I believe you'll find that Samsung in particular rolled back or reduced its planned capital spending during the second quarter of this year, I mean of 2018. And so that's they are certainly a big driver for the capital equipment spending.
Just one comment on that, Wally. Probably it's been a long time, but 12 to 15, you know, something like 10 or 12 years ago, I did do a real deep analysis of all the equipment categories and tried to figure out correlations to EDA. And at that time, the only correlation I found was photomask or reticle data.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hard to correlate to EDA now that such a large percentage of the market is ratable. That's hard to draw correlations like that. But at that time, most of the market, you know, wasn't as ratable as it is now. And it was that was the only correlation that existed at that
time.
Okay.
So I think, Mike, for your readers, the broader trend is that, or the broader observation of correlation is that semiconductor and semiconductor manufacturing equipment revenue is much more volatile than EDA. EDA tends to be pretty steady, and now even more so as we've moved into predominantly ratable revenue recognition. So I guess that's the good thing. EDA tends to be very steady, and any increases tend to be gradual as with the decreases. And you hardly ever see EDA revenue go negative, whereas semiconductors and semiconductor manufacturing equipment tend to go into negative territory every recession.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm not sure that trying to determine any of these correlations is going to be easy going forward anyway, now that SEMI doesn't report the semiconductor equipment booking numbers anymore, just the shipments.
When recognition was up front for EDA, Merlin's correlations would show that EDA tended to turn down 1 to 2 quarters after the semiconductor industry turned down, and it turned up 1 to 2 quarters after semiconductor turned up. And we attributed that to the fact that the base of designers stays fairly steady, but the expenditures on design tools vary some when there are cost-cutting programs in the company. But basically, as a recession approaches, the EDA users tend to stock up on software. So they tend to buy more when they know that a recession is coming. And then as the company comes out of the recession, it tends to wait until its R&D as a percent of revenue is coming back into line with their long-term model before they loosen up on buying more, increasing their EDA purchases. But now that revenue is ratable, that's really hard to see because it's stretched over so many quarters.
Should we be concerned then with some of the indices suggesting that, you know, some slowing in Asia that we might be, and plus, you know, you tack on the tariffs on top of that, that this 30% number the last quarter is not going to be seen again for quite a while?
Well, China and the trade dispute is a worry for everybody in all industries of high technology, especially semiconductors. So you can't say you shouldn't worry. But on the other hand, if you look at what the fluctuations in China have been, for example, this quarter, very strong PCB orders, it doesn't move the total needle that much. So from a worldwide point of view, yeah, you can have modest declines and increases, and maybe we are going into a period where the China effect will get worse rather than recovering. Now, a lot of that depends on what happens with trade negotiations, but anyway, I wouldn't expect it to cause a crisis in EDA, and just as the strong upside has not shifted the total numbers for EDA that much.
So one other data point that really jumped out at me was the increase in employment, particularly year over year, 8%. Is that sustainable?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? So I would normally say, hey, you can't grow employment faster than revenue. But if you look back at the history, it almost every year, every quarter does increase faster than revenue. And so I have to attribute some of that to the increasing movement of the employment to the Pac Rim, which allows you to do that with lower labor costs.
Okay, well, congratulations on another terrific quarter, and I'm going to knock on wood and hope that they continue.
Me too.
Great. This has been PCB Chat with Mike Buteau. Have a nice day.